Our final interview deals with the issues that arise for optometrists when treating patients with learning disabilities. There are over 1 million people with some level of learning disability in the UK. Down syndrome is one familiar example, but the variety of different conditions encompassed within the term is huge, so we tried not to be too specific in the following piece. It's helpful if optometrists understand not only the practical difficulties of examining these patients, but also the complex relationship between learning disabilities and visual problems. Alongside his work in private practice, optometrist Gordon Eilett takes a special interest in this topic. He supports many charities and organizations working in this area, such as the RNIB, SeeAbility, and the Special Olympics. Here he talks to Susan Cowling.
Gordon, are people with learning disabilities more likely to suffer from visual problems?
Yes, most studies show that between 30 and 60% of people with learning disabilities will suffer from a visual problem to some extent. That ranges from merely higher refractive errors or the need for glasses, all the way through to people who have no eyes due to various developmental problems. And when we actually examine those figures more closely, and as optometrists we understand the importance of processing in the brain, it sort of makes sense that anything that impinges on the person's ability to learn, whether that's due to a chromosomal factor like Down syndrome, or whether it's due to a perinatal injury such as cerebral palsy, or whether it's due to a postnatal injury such as a baby getting a head injury or meningitis, all of that will influence the way that the vision and the visual pathways can develop. And added to that, people with developmental problems, whether that's a coloboma or whether it's spina bifida and various other problems which will cause developmental defects in the brain and the visual pathway, all of that will impact on this group of people.
What types of eye problem are likely to affect a person with Down syndrome?
In Down syndrome, not only are they affected by all the other conditions which affect anybody with a learning disability, specifically moving from the lids back, people with Down syndrome do tend to suffer slightly more from atopic conditions, and therefore they'll suffer from blepharitis somewhat more. They may have poor hygiene and be touching their eyes because of the blepharitis, and that in turn can cause conjunctivitis. The blepharitis causes lid scarring and lid malposition, causing lashes to rub on the front of the eye, or merely the features of the Down syndrome can cause an entropion and secondary corneal problems, so people can get corneal scarring, and untreated ulcers are quite common, so people can end up with really quite severe pannus and scarring of the cornea. 15% of people with Down syndrome will have keratoconus, and unlike the rest of the population where keratoconus is often managed by wearing contact lenses, in somebody with a learning disability, management of that condition can be more challenging. That's not to say that the person with Down syndrome can't wear contact lenses. It just means that a number of them may not be able to manage with the care of the contact lenses adequately. Going further back in the eye, roughly 50% of people with Down syndrome may have cataract, and a lot of that is blue dot cataract, a type of congenital cataract, but different polar cataracts, anterior and posterior polar cataracts, as developmental cataracts, are quite common. We also find that people with Down syndrome will develop aging type cataracts much younger than normal. So if you look at a population between 30 and 40 in the Down syndrome group, they'll often have what we would normally term an aging cataract, where in the rest of the population we wouldn't expect those until maybe they're 70 or 80. The other sorts of conditions we find reduced visual acuity. And we used to think in people with Down syndrome that that reduced acuity was due to the person not trying well enough with the test or not trying hard enough with the test, refusing the next line. But recent studies have demonstrated differences in the visual pathway and the actual resolving power of the visual pathway in people with Down syndrome may be lower. In certain people there are problems with collagen structure, and that can cause an increased risk of high myopia. And we also have a much higher prevalence of squints, both convergent and divergent squints. And associated with that, we quite often have amblyopia. And in people with learning disabilities and Down syndrome in particular, often that amblyopia may not be treated or may not be treated adequately because of the poor understanding of the child or the parents having other multiple appointments to attend. So the management of the amblyopia and the treatment of the amblyopia in early years can be very difficult.
Do you think that appropriate treatment of visual problems can alleviate learning disabilities?
Well, it depends how we look at the word alleviate, really. We can't cure learning disabilities by correcting visual problems. Learning disability is a lifelong condition and will be with the person all their life. The thing that we can do is to make life easier. When we look at a population of people with learning disabilities, 90% of them will have some sort of communication problem, and that ranges from the ability to understand new or complex information all the way through to an inability to communicate using speech. And in some studies, as many as 25% of people are found to have no understandable speech. And 40% of people with learning disabilities will have a hearing impairment as well. So it's very important for them to be able to use vision, both to enable the person to cope in the normal environment, to be able to communicate well. When we think of communication, we think of listening and talking, but it's much more than that. Being able to observe non-verbal cues, whether somebody's smiling at you, whether they're directing their gaze at you, whether they're angry or sad, all of those things can be missed if you can't see somebody properly. And when it comes to self-care, being able to tie your shoelaces or feed yourself, being able to find where you're travelling from, you know, maybe a bedroom to a bathroom, being able to shave, all of those things that we take for granted as when we have normal sight are made much more difficult when you have a learning disability and a visual impairment.
What difficulties might an optometrist expect to face when examining somebody with learning disabilities?
The main difficulty that the optometrist faces is understanding the fears of the person with learning disability, which impact on their behaviour. When most of us are attending an eye examination, we know what to expect. And because we're with somebody that we trust, when they turn the light off and get very close to us and shine lights in our eyes, we expect that as part of the normal examination. If you have a learning disability and don't fully understand what's happening, you're walking into a shop between the butchers and the bakers, and suddenly somebody's taking you into a dark room, switching the lights off and shining lights in your eyes, and that can be very scary. And you may want to protect your personal space, so it may elicit challenging behaviour. Somebody may push you away, screw their eyes up, not cooperate very well. So the optometrist has got to be aware that you've got to allow the person time to adapt to different conditions. Don't switch the light off without warning somebody, for instance. Another thing which will happen in people with learning disabilities is that they take longer to assimilate information, and we have to be very careful to break the question down into small parts and make the language that we use quite simple. One of the things that should be avoided is if somebody doesn't respond, changing the question too frequently, because that can just cause confusion. So instead of changing the question, we should repeat the same question possibly more slowly, or we should look to the carer or the parent to help with the appropriate language to use for that person or communication method. Other things which will make life difficult sometimes is the person's cooperation with keeping their eyes open for various tests. They may not look in the correct direction and may be easily distracted by other things in the room. We have to be aware of all these factors and be flexible ourselves. And I think it's key that the optometrist retains a certain amount of flexibility and is aware that they won't necessarily get perfect results for every test every time they examine the patient.
What else can the optometrist do to make an eye examination more appropriate for people with learning disabilities?
Optometrists worry that they won't necessarily have the right skills or tools available to them when they're examining people with learning disabilities. Most of us in our practices have tests that we would use for children, and so things such as Sheridan Gardner tests, where you've got letter matching, or K-picture tests where you're using pictures, and probably the most expensive test that the person seeing a number of people with learning disability needs would be a preferential looking test, and something like Cardiff cards would be appropriate in these occasions. That and a bag of toys or other things to distract the person with a learning disability are quite useful, and so having a number of soft toys, balls, all sorts of things. One of the things I would warn against, though, is that we do have to be age appropriate in the test that we use. As far as possible, we should use a test which we would use on a normal patient of that age. But I don't think anybody with a learning disability objects if they're unable to use that test. But we shouldn't just assume that because this person has a learning disability, we have to use K pictures or we have to use Cardiff cards. And we should use the highest level of acuity test, for instance, that we possibly can. When it comes to examining the person, we do also have to take into account that their attention span may be limited. We may find that they're getting bored with one particular method of examination, and we may need to be flexible and move around from one test to another in order to obtain adequate results. When it comes to refraction, I think the most important skill is accurate retinoscopy. And we all know sometimes, however hard we try, our ret isn't very good. And I've taken to recording my confidence score of my retinoscopy, because sometimes you'll get fantastic ret result and you'll know that you've nailed it and you can record 10 out of 10. But other times the person may not open their eyes, you may only get a glimpse of the fundus or the red reflex, and you maybe have a very low confidence score. So that's quite a useful thing to do. So the next time you see the person, you may be able to get better results, or you may find that you're getting contradictory results and you'll know why. Subjective examination, really you need to be simple, straightforward. And then when it comes to fundus examination, again, be flexible. Not everybody will like you getting close enough to do direct ophthalmoscopy. They may prefer you to use slit lamp bio, or one of the tests that I've found very useful is you're actually using fundus photography, because that's very non-threatening. It's a machine that the person's looking into, and when you get the flash, the person may blink a few times, but it's not too imposing. You're not invading their personal space, so you can often get good results using that. But I think most of all, the optometrist has really got to remember to be flexible.
What should an optometrist take into consideration when prescribing glasses or treatments to people with learning disabilities?
I think we have to initially look at the optometric prescribing, and we have to choose prescriptions which are appropriate and are going to help that individual. Giving very low prescriptions to people where they don't do lots of detailed near tasks may not be appropriate, and trying to define what is an appropriate prescription can sometimes be challenging as well. I think we all have to be cautious of giving minus prescriptions, correcting people's myopia when their world is very close to them. So if somebody's -3 and we prescribe glasses, advise their carers that the person should be wearing them all the time, and then that prevents them from being able to focus on near objects. And likewise, prescription of high refractive errors for the first time make somebody unsteady on their feet. So we have to take that into account. But just because somebody has a learning disability doesn't mean that they shouldn't be given the full range of options when it comes to prescriptions. And that includes contact lenses. I've got a number of patients with learning disabilities with keratoconus who are able to handle their contact lenses, albeit with some support. And that's the most appropriate way for them to have their eye corrected or their vision corrected. When we then look at dispensing, one's got to be very much more conscious of both facial features and possible challenging behaviours or inability to care with care for fragile spectacles. So the prescription of some beautiful rimless frames may not be appropriate for somebody with a learning disability, whereas the prescription of, say, a Flexon material could well be the most appropriate form. And we've also got to think about lens form and fit. And when you look at the facial features of somebody with Down syndrome, they will have a low bridge. That's got to be taken into account. And their ear point is somewhat different to the rest of the population as well. So we've got to make sure spectacles fit properly and are easy to manage. And finally, really, we've got to look at the care of spectacles. People need to be taught how to look after their glasses, where we'd expect to be able to just say to somebody, you'll rinse them under the tap and look after them. We may need to give written instructions on the care of specs. And instructing carers on what the spectacles are for, giving written information, putting spectacles into different coloured cases, making it easy for people to know these glasses are for when I'm doing any near task, these glasses are for distance. I think that's also very important.
Do you think people with learning disabilities should also be educated about eye care?
Yes, and I think this is not only our role as optometrists, but it's the role of the charitable sector and the role of local authorities to educate all people who come into contact with patients with learning disabilities, healthcare professionals and carers, as well as the people with learning disability themselves, that there is a need for eye examinations, and also that we need to say all those people with learning disabilities can have an eye examination. There is nobody who is so disabled that we can't examine. Sometimes there's a small group of patients, it won't be appropriate for them to have their eye examination in the community, and we may need to examine them under anaesthetic, but that's a vanishingly small group of patients. And we really need to push home the message that all people should attempt to have an eye examination. And where we as optometrists fail, we can then advocate that that person is not suitable to have their eyes examined in the community, possibly refer on to an optometrist with a special interest or refer on to a special clinic. And in ultimately, they may be, as I said before, need an examination under anaesthetic to ensure that they do have adequately good ocular health.
Are there any particular resources you would recommend for people who wish to learn more about this area?
I think if I wanted to encompass that in one simple resource, and that's a website which is www.lookupinfo.org, which is a website sponsored by Seeability, the charity. And this is all-encompassing. It provides information for people with learning disability about having eye examinations or having eye surgery, provides information to carers how to carry out a functional vision assessment, for instance, provides resources for optometrists in the background to people with learning disabilities, methods of examining them. There's downloadable resource, and also there's CET points available for optometrists via that site. There's also very good links to both research which is being carried out on people with learning disabilities and links to other organisations who may be able to provide help. So as a one-stop shop, that's quite a useful resource.
Thank you, Gordon and Susan. Suggestions for further reading accompany your CD and are also on the OQ webpage.